Several weeks ago, Father Dimitrios Moraitis of St. Paraskevi Greek Orthodox Church in Greenlawn, New York, that's on Long Island, shared a remarkable story on his Facebook page. He's with me today to talk about that event itself, as well as give us an update on what has happened since then. Well, now, Father Dimitri, everybody's wondering what happened, so why don't you tell us?
Sure, Father Chris. As the chaplain for the local American Legion post here, I annually offer the prayer at the Veterans Day service. Following that service, the veterans generally go to Applebee's, who gives them free lunch, which is a nice thing. And during that luncheon, I was introduced to a gentleman with dark glasses and a walking stick. I realized immediately that he was blind. He struggled to make eye contact with me. And I introduced myself as Father Dimitri, and the first thing he asked was, "Are you the priest of the Greek church on Pulaski Road in Greenlawn?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I was going to come and see you last week, but I didn't." And I said, "Oh, why not?" He goes, "Well, I got into a fight with my wife, and I thought it wouldn't be a good idea to go see a priest after that." But I said, "Oh, were you going to come for the holy water?" And he said, "What holy water?" I said, "The holy water from the shrine." He said, "What shrine?" I said, "Don't you realize that our patron saint is the patron saint for eye health?" And he goes, "No, I had no idea." I said, "No, I wanted to come to ask permission to walk my guide dog. I'm training a new guide dog because I wore out my old one. And I just wanted to ask permission to walk the dog in the backyard and in the parking lot of the church. You see, I was walking my dog at the high school next door, and they kicked me out last week because they said I was an insurance liability." And so I said, "Of course, I'll let the parish council know. But do me a favor, when you do come, please let me know that you're here so that you can come in and I can read a prayer over you and anoint you with the holy water." And he said, "Absolutely, Father." I gave him my card, and that night he sent me an email, something like, "Confession is an ancient discipline. Its rewards are obvious. It's been many years since anyone's heard my confession. Would you hear mine?" Now, this was not a Greek Orthodox or an Orthodox Christian, and yet I felt so compelled by my grieving him, by our interaction, and just by the fact that he just met me and he asked me to hear his confession. Here we are struggling to get our own people to come to confession. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Of course." Now, I knew I couldn't do it in a sacramental setting.
Right.
So I figured, you know, he was blind. I wasn't going to wear my stole. And, you know, since being he was blind, he probably couldn't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I say that jokingly, but he sent me two subsequent emails telling me how just the prospect of possibly getting his sight back brought him a hope that he hadn't had in a long time. And so I'm reading his emails, and I'm saying to myself, this is no ordinary man. Anyway, he came. We set a time, 11 o'clock on Monday the 18th of November, to come for confession. And as I said, I just wore my exoraso, my robe, and I did not all of the prayers, but most during the service. And then we sat down, and he began sharing his confession. And during this time, you know, he said, "Before I kind of share the essence of what I want to communicate, I want to tell you a little bit about my life." And in truth, Father, I couldn't stop crying. Any evil that you can conceive that any child should go through, this man went through. And I felt so bad. And again, you know, there's a tissue box next to me at all confessions. It's usually for the penitent, not for the priest.
Right.
But here I am crying.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's saying his confession, I'm like, no, oh, you know. So this was basically the essence of what he was sharing with me. And eventually, they were foster families to the military, Marine, and then he was a rescue diver for the fire department. And at one point, he responded to a call of a ship that was leaking the chemical xylene, and he received an awful burn all over his skin, caused his skin to peel off, and in his eyes, and that exposure and subsequent exposures caused his deterioration of his optical nerves, which in turn 7 years ago caused his right eye to be completely blind and his left eye to only see shadows on occasion. Mm-hmm. So that's where he was left for the last 7 years. After 2 hours of hearing his confession, we stepped up and he said, "Can I kneel, Father?" And I thought, wow. So he knelt down. Now, normally I would put my stole over the penitent's head and read the prayer of absolution. In fact, I didn't know whether I was going to read that prayer or just a prayer of healing. But I felt so compelled to read that prayer because I was so moved by this man's faith and his life. So I put my hand on his head, just my hand, and read the prayer. And just before I said amen, something hit the top of my head like a big buzz that came through my body and then kind of out of my right hand on top of his head, and it caused him to sort of shudder and fall down. Now, Father, I've been hearing confessions for 16 years. I've never had anything like this happen to me in my life. All I know is I looked down at him, and he looked up at me, and we both started crying. We both knew that something supernatural took place, and finally we got together, and we walked out the door. His wife saw us emotionally in that state and wondered what was going on, but she was focused on leading Michael down the zigzag stairway that led to our underground shrine. St. Paraskevi happens to be the patron saint for eyesight, as I said, and we had this beautiful shrine. In 1969, a family from our parish went to the original St. Paraskevi shrine, a church in modern-day Turkey, Serapia, and they brought back the holy water from that shrine. Now, and that holy water mingles with the Long Island water and pours out. We've sent that holy water, we send that holy water throughout the world, Father. People email us and call us and send letters requesting it. And people come from as far as California and Florida for pilgrimages to receive a prayer service. So, this happens, and we do hear about miracles. People write me back or call me or actually come and make visits and tell me the story of how they received the holy water, and after a day or two or sometime afterwards, the doctors examined them and they said that, there were no problems. But I brought him down. We brought him down to the shrine. I explained to him exactly about that. I told him about St. Paraskevi's life, how, she was a beautiful woman in the late part of the second century, and how, she caught the eye of a local ruler who she refused because, he wanted to make her part of his concubine. And as a means of torturing her, he put her in a cauldron of boiling oil. When she wasn't frying, he screamed at his servants that it's not hot enough. And to prove that it was hot enough and that she was being divinely protected, she flicked the oil in his eyes and became blind and said, "If you believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I will heal you." And he got his eyesight back. Once he got his eyesight back, he told his servants, "Get her out of there." And he actually was baptized. But a new ruler came and had her beheaded. And at the place of her martyrdom, they built this beautiful church. And sometime after that church was built, this natural spring started flowing. That was the water that we took in 1969. We brought back to St. Paraskevi here on Long Island, and it's in a mixing tank, so the Long Island water pours in it. As it overflows, it all becomes sanctified, and people have been healed from numerous illnesses.
All right, let me ask you a question then. All right, so this man, you've never met him before. You met him through your encounter with the veterans. He then comes to you. You're having a confession. You hear his confession, not as an Orthodox Christian, but as a priest, okay? We understand
that. As another Christian.
As another Christian to a Christian, I hear you. And then he comes, and you have this experience where you take him and his wife, and you go down into the shrine. Now, tell us you also have that electrifying experience at the time of the hearing of the confession and the prayers over him, right?
Right.
All right, so take us to the next step now.
So as he comes down to the shrine, I begin to read the pre-healing prayers that we have in our service books. As I'm doing this, he's washing his eyes with the holy water. After I complete the prayer, he looks over to his left and he says, "I see a woman." Now, there's a very large icon of St. Paraskevi to the left, so my initial thought was, he is making out the outline of that icon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his left eye, which is the one that he could see shadows. And I said, oh, can you make out the outline of the of that icon? He goes, no, Father, you don't understand. He turned to me and he says, I see the color of your eyes. Mm-hmm. At that point, he said, you have green eyes. I can see your eyes, and then I can see this. And he proceeded to show me everything inside the shrine, to point to it and tell me exactly what he was watching and what he was seeing. And now I'm crying. He's crying. His wife is crying. My church secretary hears the commotion. She comes down. She's crying. Father Lou, my assistant, comes down. He's crying. People, visitors in the church who are in the church office, see what's happening. They come down. They start crying.
Mm-hmm.
It was a miracle that took place in front of us. And we were all in awe. You know, for an hour, I just stayed with him, and we talked, and I was trying to pinch myself while I was with him. Did that just happen?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, during the day, after he left and I had a number of appointments, I also was pinching myself, and I said, you know, did that really happen? Was it real? It was, you know, one of those surreal moments. And I was still vibrating. That's what it felt like, Father. I can't explain it because I've never had anything. I don't have anything to compare it to. I've never had experienced anything before or since.
All right, let me ask you this now. Obviously, something happened. We obviously know that from what you're saying. I've known you for many years, so I know you're not making this up. I'm going to talk to the cynic who's out there listening. How do we know that Michael was legally blind before he came to the shrine of St. Paraskevi?
Right. So I was asked the same question, and so I thought that I needed to do some due diligence. And
mm-hmm.
so I went to the person who introduced me to him and a few other people in the American Legion, inquiring about as to how long they've known him and what they know about him. And the truth is that Michael lived upstate New York, right by the Canada border, and he came down to Long Island about 16, 18 months ago to actually be with his mother-in-law, who was getting treatments for cancer. And so that's when they met him, and they've known him all that time. But, you know, a few days afterwards, Michael had just brought some documentation. He goes, Father, I know you haven't asked for this, but I just want to let you know this is what happened. And then in our subsequent emails, he would also talk about the event of that day when he was exposed to the xylene.
Mm-hmm.
And he had tumors in his neck, and he had another tumor in his eye. I mean, there was sufficient documentation. And he was definitely legally blind. I mean,
okay.
All of the paperwork pointed to that. So
right.
We know for a fact that this was his diagnosis and this was his reality.
All right. So here you are. God has placed you at this place now in time, in your life, and obviously now in Michael's life. I'll get a little personal with you and ask you the question. Number one, have you ever experienced anything like that before? And then yes or no, and then it deals with how has that impacted your own personal relationship with God?
Well, let me just go back a little bit. You know, the next morning, Michael was here waiting for me for 2.5 hours. He was here from before 8 o'clock. And I said, Michael, you're here? And he goes, where else would I be? I have nowhere else to go.
Hmm.
Where else would I be? And he said, I want to see the church, the inside of the church that I was confessing in, because I didn't see it, and I didn't go back, have an opportunity to go back and see it.
Hmm.
But in truth, no, I have not. I have not experienced anything like that. In all humility, I've had a saint appear to me and talk to me. But this was even more, I don't know, spooky, more spiritually intense. That was sort of an experience unto itself, but I was a passive participant. With this, it happened through me, not from me, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just show up. You know, that's the best I could do. So in truth, it's affected me. The reality was, or is, that 2 weeks before I met Michael, I had this revelation. The revelation was basically that no matter what is happening in my life, and I've had some struggles with the administration of the parish lately, that caused me great pain. And I just decided I'm going to respond with love to everything and anything that comes to my life from now on. It was one of those moments, those watershed moments in the life of or in the ministry of a priest. It was the only time I really felt anything like this in ministry. Mm-hmm. That I just said, Lord, I give it to you, and it was a feeling of just letting go and emptying myself, you know, kenosis. And I just felt this incredible love. So this happened 2 weeks before I met Michael. And there was a sense of freedom and relief, and I think that had to happen before I met Michael, if what happened to him was going to happen. But what happened on that day brought me to a different level. And it's been 2.5 months now, Father, or a little over 2 months, and I'm still floating.
Okay.
I'm on this spiritual pink cloud, and I just see things differently, and I very few things have bothered me or troubled me since then.
Sure. Let's go into the parish for a moment. Clearly, this is a great honor to have such a shrine at your parish. You mentioned the secretary came down. You mentioned other people came down. I'm interested to hear the effect that this miracle had upon those in your parish now who know about it.
Right. We have miracles that take place here, I hate to say it, regularly. Mm-hmm. Probably at least once a month I receive a letter or a visit or an email or a phone call from someone who tells me, you know, I visited your shrine, or you sent me the holy water. The doctors are dumbfounded. We don't know what happened. Or sometimes they go for surgeries, and they we pray over them, we anoint them with the holy water, and the doctors don't understand how they recovered so quickly, or how easily the surgery went when it should have been very complicated. So these are many of the things that are communicated to us. I think what happened with this is it was the first time that it was a blind person. Mm. I think that perhaps when someone loses their sight, they kind of give up. And what made this unique is that it happened in front of me. It happened in front of a few people. It wasn't take the holy water, go home and anoint it, and then you come back. It wasn't like the Sunday's gospel where, you know, the lepers, they walk away. As they walk away, they're healed. It was definitive, and it was instant. And I think that was what impacted the parishioners so much. Plus, they were watching this stranger in church every morning amongst them, asking what was happening. In fact, one parishioner, after the community found out about this, and everybody was asking me, and then eventually, with Michael's permission, I shared the event through our monthly newsletter. One parishioner emailed me and said, Father, I was at the liturgy of the entrance of the Virgin Mary into the temple, and there was a stranger that I'd never seen before in front of me, and there was a spiritual presence about him that I could not avoid. And it grew and grew until the moment of the consecration, and I began crying from this divine love that I felt. And she said, might this be the same person that you were talking about in your message? And I said, and I wrote back to her, I go, absolutely, because I know where you were standing, and he was standing right in front of you in the row before you. And they've begun a conversation with each other since. And Michael, again, this is not an ordinary person. This is a person who I think was filled with the Holy Spirit. You can read it in his emails before the event took place and since. And I just think that, you know, Jesus said, go in peace, your faith has made you well.
That's right.
I firmly believe that this person came. And only in subsequent emails and conversations did he tell me, Father, you have no idea the preparation I made that week before I came and saw you. The prayers, the writing down of everything. Just the anticipation that I might have one last chance to do this. And he said, look, the doctors had told me that because of the exposure to the chemicals, that I would probably begin losing my hearing as well. And he said, if I can't hear the voices of those whom I love, then God take me. Mm. And he thought about throwing himself in front of a bus just the week before, especially after they kicked him out. And so, I didn't know all of these things. All of these things just as we communicated, and my relationship with him is, it's when I'm with him, it's almost like I feel spiritually charged. It's like when the two of us come together, we start crying for no reason, for no reason. Yeah. And in truth, Father, I've cried every single day since that, and I can't understand why.
And well, it's now, truly
as I'm blessing homes and I'm going from one home to the other, and they're asking me about, Father, can you tell us a little bit more about what happened that day? I share that with them. I see how they're inspired. I go into my car and I start crying. Mm-hmm. And then I have to get it together before I go to the next home.
To the next one, right?
And see the other family.
Let me ask you
and
this.
And then it goes again.
Let me ask you this. I mean, clearly we could have a full day's conversation about this issue, and we're not going to be able to do that because time limits us. He's doing well. Michael's doing well. Has he decided to convert to Orthodoxy? Give us a brief synopsis of where he's at right now.
Yeah, he's doing well. He has had to deal with the death of his mother-in-law, and now his sister is in hospice care. So he's had many distractions, but the blessing is that he's been able to be there with them. So I haven't seen him as often. The first month he was in church every morning, every liturgy. And in my emails with him, in my conversation, it's almost like an ongoing catechism with him. But I still have not talked about conversion. It seems to me that the journey that we're both on is greater than that. Mm-hmm. And that I trust that God will know the time and place for that conversation to take place.
Any plans of publishing a book, speaking on TV about this issue? How are you going to deal with it?
You know, we one of the things I wanted to do was I didn't want to make Michael a spectacle.
Right.
And I wanted to protect his privacy. So everything that I have ever shared with you or with anybody else has always been with Michael's blessing.
Okay. Yeah,
Michael, the biggest struggle he's had to face is, Father, what do I do with this?
Mm.
How do I respond to this?
That's a very good question.
I simply asked to walk my dog.
Yeah.
And I said, do you see how the cruelty of one of response, God took that and turned it into a blessing and a miracle beyond your belief. So Michael and I exchange emails, and we've been doing this once or twice a day since for over 2 months. And when I shared this with another priest, he said, you really do need to share this with the rest of the world in some way. Mm-hmm. Right now I have 200 pages, Father, of a journal, you know, basically a compilation of our emails with narrative that I can't stop writing.
Mm-hmm. I could tell. I'm
up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
I can tell.
And I can't go to sleep because I feel so compelled to write this and to share this. And so what happens to it, Father? I leave in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Michael knows that I'm putting this together, and I'm going to start giving him pieces of it. And if he's fine with it and I share it with other people, it's a possibility. I've been sharing bits and pieces of his journey on Facebook.
Yeah, tell us a little more about that. So people who are listening to the program, they might want to follow Michael. They might want to follow the miracle that took place, or maybe others that might take place in the future. So where can a person go to learn more, Father?
Well, Father Dimitrios Moraitis is, I'm on Facebook there, obviously. I've been posting some things. They can always call the church, St. Paraskevi Greek Orthodox Church, 261-7272, area code 631. Or stparaskevi.org, and we can communicate more. Now, one of the outcomes of this is our parishioner said, hey, if you're doing this for them, by the way, I had a number of blind people come here last week asking for the same service I did for Michael in the hopes that they also would be able to do this, the same healing. And my own community, members of the community said, Father, can we do a service for all of us? I said, of course. I'm so used to doing individual services for anybody who asks. So this Friday, we're doing a paraklesis to St. Paraskevi at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm going to do a prayer service for everybody downstairs in the shrine, the same one that I offered to Michael. Only God knows what's going to come out of all of this, but You know, if the people have the right faith, there's always a spiritual healing if the heart is right whenever someone encounters a prayer service. The physical healing, that's up to the wisdom of God, not me. I'm not the author of any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just show up. I'm the donkey. I try to bring Christ to people. That's it.
Well, Father, it's been an incredible conversation, remarkable conversation. We praise God for that miracle that has apparently taken place now at St. Paraskevi in Greenlawn, New York. We pray for you, your ministry, your parish, and I hope that people will follow this and follow other things, and if they need prayers of things in their lives, miracles in their lives, that they will reach to you, they will reach out to Ayer Paraskevi, St. Paraskevi, and of course to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father Dimitri, very much for being with us.
Thank you. Amen, Father.
This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.